In a much-awaited federal action, the FDA has released an update of its draft guidance for the Preventive Controls Human Foods Rule, including a revised draft of Appendix 1, Known or Reasonably Foreseeable Hazards. With the release providing clearer steps for identifying potential hazards in your products, I, your TAG Talks host Lisa Lupo, I'm talking today with TAG's senior advisor, Ruth Petran, to discuss the changes, the impacts, and best practices for implementation. Welcome, Ruth.
Thanks, Lisa. Happy to be here again.
Yes, it's always great to have you. So, Ruth, why is the release of the PC Rule Appendix 1 draft guidance of such importance to the industry?
Well, to me, what's emphasized in the release of this revised guidance is continued emphasis that we need to broaden our thinking about hazards that can arise from ingredients or food products and the processes themselves, both at ingredient suppliers where we're sourcing ingredients from and the manufacturing facilities. And this guidance, newly updated, provides really helpful information to help us do that, so that the potential for missed hazards is greatly decreased. And obviously we know that if we miss a hazard, we may lead to significant food safety risks. Now we need to keep in mind that it's always been a requirement under the Preventive Controls for Human Foods Rule to perform an accurate and complete hazard analysis. And the steps remain the same typically. We list raw materials and ingredients that may contain hazards and the process steps where these could be introduced. We then identify those hazards that may be known or reasonably foreseeable or potential from the raw materials, other ingredients, and the finished product processes as well. We need to then evaluate the hazards to determine if they are significant by looking at severity and likelihood. We need to justify our decision and then identify the preventive controls for those hazards which are significant. So that's all the same. It's just we now have information that can help us better identify those hazards, I think.
So what does the new guidance introduce in relation to hazard analysis, and how will that impact food safety plans?
Yeah, I would urge listeners to take a look at the newly revised Appendix 1 in this guidance. And from this, we can identify potential hazards or those that are inherent in various kinds of food items and categories. There are 16 different categories that are described, things like bakery items, dairy products, fruits and vegetables, herbs and spices, etc. And there's two tables in the guidance. Table 1 helps us identify potential biological hazards in these different kinds of categories. And chemical hazards are identified in Table 2 for these various food types. But we can't stop there. So Appendix 1, again, is a great place to start. But we also need to consider these potential hazards that might originate from the processes and the food production environment. Now, because each food facility is very unique with its products, its operations, its personnel, its various, you know, things related to the physical plant itself, these facility-rated related hazards are pretty unique and are very specific to each facility. So Appendix 1 really does not identify these potential hazards that might be related to the process or the facility. So the expectation then is that in addition to applying revised Appendix 1 with biological and chemical inherent hazards, that one needs to consider process-related hazards both at the supplying facility of those ingredients and raw materials and at the manufacturer. And the guidance lays out nicely in chapters 2 and 3 information about things to consider. For example, if we think about potential biological hazards from a process, think about those that could be due to the presence, due to growth, or toxin production related to survival of a lethal treatment, or poor time and temperature control, poor formulation control, or due to the use of reduced oxygen packaging. We also need to think about the potential for biological hazards from ingredients that might be introduced after a process control, or if there's lack of container integrity in the packaging. And of course, environmental pathogens, their presence due to the possibility of recontamination from that processing area. We need to think about chemical hazards that could come from the processes, including undeclared food allergens due to incorrect labeling, unintended food allergen presence caused by cross contact, other chemical hazards due to misformulation, and those process contaminant hazards that might exist in certain plant foods like acrylamide. And then finally, process-related physical hazards. The guidance details consideration of those related to metal, glass, and hard plastic. So it's a very helpful and extensive list as a place to start, but it's not exhaustive. And it's quite possible that your own facilities may have additional hazards that would be relevant to that particular facility, and they need to be considered as well.
So given all that, what best practice recommendations would you have to implement all this?
Well, essentially to apply this information. Okay. And I would suggest it be done in a very systematic process, starting with hazard identification and starting at the supplier level, thinking about the inherent hazards that might exist in the ingredients that are being used, and apply that Appendix 1 criteria. And then you want to think about potential process or facility-related hazards that might exist at those supplying facilities. Then I'd move to the manufacturing level, using a step-by-step approach, and identify any potential process or facility-related hazards within the manufacturing space. After identification, then we need to consider the severity and likelihood of occurrence to determine which of these preventive controls, or sorry, which of these potential hazards needs a preventive control. And then we can continue on and identify and characterize those preventive controls.
Okay. So it all sounds kind of simple, but kind of complex at the same time. So what assistance can TAG provide in this?
Well, certainly TAG folks are fully aware of these newly available resources, and we can help you to accurately apply this information in the hazard analysis process to help you meet the requirements of the preventive controls for human foods rule and within the foreign supplier verification programs as well, where there's a requirement to do a hazard analysis. All in the guise of helping you to ensure that potential hazards are not missed and are effectively controlled. So TAG can offer training, a review of your current food safety plans, and help to recommend where there may need to be enhancements to those particular plans. And certainly we continue to offer the preventive controls for human foods, preventive controls qualified individual training. And we will be actively promoting insights from this new guidance and showing you how they can be applied. So please reach out.
Well, thank you, Ruth, so much for, we greatly appreciate your insights on this new guidance. And it really does seem it will have an impact on the industry, but, you know, follow the guidance and reach out if you need assistance. And be sure, all of the viewers here, to check out our other episodes of TAG Talks for more insights on food safety and public health advice and recommendations and assistance. And as always, don't forget to like this video and subscribe to stay informed. Thank you.